Hey everybody, welcome to Gaming My Whole Life. I'm the host, George. Welcome to podcast number 10, double digits. And today in Jamil's place, we have Theo, who's returned to the show. How are you doing, Theo?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, doing all right, mate. Thanks. Thanks for asking. As you may have heard, the Nintendo Direct recently came out.
I have.
Another one?
I have heard that.
And it should come as no surprise that I insisted that we talk about it a bit.
After a massive debate about it. Personally.
Exactly. Thankfully, you lost that debate and here we are. Tell it how it is. A couple interesting things did come from the Nintendo Direct, actually. I just wanted to discuss a few of them with you today. The first, which is something which you're familiar with this game series, and I have personally been hoping it'll get ported to the Switch, and it has been confirmed. The Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy has been announced finally for Switch, and will be coming July 10th. So that's pretty exciting. Did you ever play the Crash games there?
Originally, yes, on PlayStation I did play them. I was actually the one that sent you the link for the Switch, and then following that...
Ah, that was you. Ah.
And then following that, I got about 50 billion notifications on how excited you were. So eventually, I actually had to log off my messenger. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of the game, but I have played it in the past, and... Mm-hmm. I know there will be a lot of people, including yourself, that is, you know, really excited to have that on the Switch. I think it's actually a really cool title to have on the Switch, personally.
Thanks. Yeah, no, you're right. I am super keen on it. And I did play the original 3 on the PS1 days a lot. Just, I don't know, like, it was the birth of 3D at home platforming, sort of, like... It was like the 3D game for beginners, because you either moved up or down and left and right. And it actually reminded me a lot of the game Bubsy. Now, oh man, I'm going to feel really old talking about this. But back during like the Super Nintendo games, there was this game called Bubsy. Basically like 2D platformer, ran around jumping on people and you were a cat. And the funny thing about Bubsy, which definitely migrated into the Crash Bandicoot series, is every time you died... in Bubsy, like if an enemy touched you, you died, you would always die in a hilarious, cartoony way. So, like, if you got burnt, like if fire touched you, then all of a sudden you just become black smoke and you just crumble into pieces and, like, only your eyeballs would be remaining and stuff. It wasn't as violent as I just described it. Like, it was all done in a very cartoony manner. But if you've played Crash Bandicoot enough that you've at least died a few times, you would have noticed every time Crash died, it looked quite amusing. And yeah, that was a bit of a Bubsy reference there. So, a little bit of a nudge, wink, wink to the old school.
Good segue George.
Thank you. I'm still working on the subtlety of my segues, but I feel as the podcast series moves forward, I will get better at that.
Let's hope.
Yeah, so anyways, Crash is coming, so pretty excited about that, and just letting you, the listeners, know that the game's coming out on Switch in case you've been holding off like I have, and we'll be able to enjoy that soon. Now, another game which I have discussed previously, I believe actually the last podcast, I talked about how I was a little bit excited about Mario Tennis Aces at the thought or possibility of the game having motion controls, because it made sense. And during the Direct, not only did Nintendo confirm that yes, there will be optional motion controls, but... they even showed like footage of how it works and, you know, the backhand and the spinners, and anyone who played Wii Sports Tennis back in the day will probably feel a little bit nostalgic looking at the footage. And the game turned out to have, because the Nintendo Direct actually devoted a lot of the most amount of time during the whole Direct was actually spent on Mario Tennis Aces, to most people's surprise, including myself. But it turns out that the game actually has a lot more depth than expected. Like, right off the bat, you have 15 playable characters and, you know, different strengths and weaknesses. All right, that isn't so much depth, but what did grab my interest is while you play, you have like a special meter that you build up, and when you build up that meter enough, then you can execute special moves. And, you know, each playable character has their own special moveset. And what caught my attention was the fact that if you, like, did a real big powerful shot or whatever and hit your opponent, if you did it enough, you could actually not only break your opponent's tennis racket, but you would force them to quit as well. So I thought that was really cool. And you could even do pinpointed special moves where you freeze down time, so everything will go in slow motion, and you can choose a specific spot on the tennis court where you will smash the ball. And if whoever you're playing, if they don't time the block correctly and return it, it just swoops right past them. So, I am a little bit of a tennis game. Actually, the last tennis game I played, Theo, was the one which I used to play at your house on the PlayStation 3. Remember that tennis game?
Yep. Good times with that. It was very late nights, very frustrating moments. To tell you the truth...
It's all coming back to you.
Yes. To tell you the truth, I'm not really a big sporting person. That includes in the gaming world, but I do like to play tennis games on different platforms. So I'm surprised to my... I'm surprised that I'm actually looking forward to this or trying this tennis game out on the Switch as well when you eventually get it there, George. I don't really have a choice, but I might as well enjoy it.
Oh, I'm glad you've caught on to that. You're absolutely right. When it comes to my Nintendo love, you do have no choice, and every time I invite you over, it is always a trap of some form or another. So I'm glad you recognize that. But you're right. We haven't been the best at the tennis games, let's be honest, but we have always enjoyed playing tennis games together and trying to make it work.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, if we even serve it on the court, we're like, yes, it's on the court. Like, we're not even keeping track of the scoring. We're like, it stayed on the court.
I think it's more
something
the...
Something should be so easy.
I think it's more the the comments during the game that I enjoy the most, especially if you don't get a ball in and you tend to comment on that, which is pretty funny.
I am a little bit vocal. I can't imagine that would be quite entertaining. I'm probably going to end up with this game. I don't think it's a day one purchase for me. Like, I'm not going to go out and put down my money immediately. I don't think anyway. But once the price has dropped down a bit, I'll get my hands on it and give it a little bit of a spin. One thing which they did announce already, even though the game hasn't come out, which I think is pretty cool actually, and I've noticed a pattern with Nintendo, is they said that down the track, when Mario Tennis Aces comes out, that they will actually host online tournaments, which is pretty cool. So players will be able to, you know, play each other and build up the ranks. And if I recall correctly, the reward, I think, would be like some exclusive character or something. Like, there was some sort of in-game reward which you would get for one entering the competition, like another if you won it. So I think that shows good support from Nintendo. Say, hey, here's an online game, but on top of that, we're going to have tournaments to keep your interest. And this isn't new from Nintendo, actually. Like, in general, people may think that Nintendo doesn't take online too seriously, but as far as the Switch goes, they have supported it vigorously. Like, the game Splatoon 2, which is, you know, it's online four-player a per team game. You play against other teams, and you know you shoot all the paint everywhere and the ink and so forth. Yep. That has had tournaments before and lots of free goodies and so forth. And what's the other one? Arms. That the one where it's sort of like a boxing fighting game or whatever. Like you punch in the air and the springs come out and you can hit each other at a distance. That also gets tournaments and freebies and all that. So they're starting to get a little bit of a track record of having online games that not only, you know, let you play online, but then have tournaments and have freebies and stuff. I think it's a good sign from Nintendo. And at the end of the year, when they release the online paid service, which I checked, it's like $20 a year or something. It's ridiculously cheap. Hopefully this is a good sign to come, because I know that on the PlayStation Network and Microsoft's, you get a lot of things with your account, like there's achievements and everything else. And yeah, hopefully Nintendo will be able to do well with that. Do you have a Sony online membership there?
Actually, I don't. I've never really been an online on the PlayStation person. All my online gaming is mostly done on PC. The reason that I don't do it on the PlayStation is, I don't know, I think I don't have enough friends that have the PlayStation that I could, you know, game with at the time. Mm-hmm. But with the PC, obviously everyone's got a PC, so I can jump on and do that. Also, I find with the PlayStation, to get the online access, I think it's actually quite expensive.
It is actually, yeah. You can't remember how much it is off the top of my head, but Australian dollars, I think it was like between 60 to 80 or something.
Yeah, it was something like that. I think that's quite expensive, especially paying $100+ for the game and then having to fork out another $80 per year for the online access. Yeah, I can't justify it personally. I'd rather just, you know, buy it on PC once and then have everything in the original price available to me.
Okay, that's fair enough. PC does have that natural advantage. Like, you don't pay for the privilege of being online. You pay for your internet, and that's it. You know, it's just assumed that you will play online for free. And apart from the end of the year with the Switch, or Nintendo consoles have actually been for free to play online, which has been a big advantage. They haven't had the online features that Sony and Microsoft does have. Like, they do have a more in-depth, robust system, but you've always had to pay for it. And I'm like you, to be honest. I was always on the fence as to whether or not I want a yearly subscription for something which I very rarely bother to play online. Like, sometimes I'd get a new game and I'd try it out online just out of curiosity, and then I might not return to it. So paying however much it costs a year wasn't really tempting, which is why I was really happy when I heard about how much Nintendo's online subscription will cost. Because when I firstly heard that, we're going to charge, you know, a yearly amount, I was like, oh, they're copying everyone else now. I'm like, I probably won't even bother doing it online. Like, it's very few games I play online, you know. And like you, if actually all my online playing is with you and Jay and Jamel and so forth online, you know, on the computer. So I very rarely do it on the console. But when I heard just how cheap it will be, then it was like, that is so cheap that I'll just pay it once a year in advance and I won't give it a second thought, you know?
Yeah. I still think you won't do it as much, personally. But
play online, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know. It's just, it's weird to play. To me, it's strange to play online using a PlayStation. I'd rather really just do it on computer.
Yeah, and each to their own. I also prefer it on the computers, but there is a lot of gamers and, you know, plenty of people who's probably listening to this podcast even now who totally want to do it online.
Yep, and that's fair
So
enough.
they were probably breathing a sigh of relief because, you know, think about it. Let's say each console was like $60 a year, you know? And what if you had like all three consoles and you're like $60 for the PlayStation, $60 for Microsoft, and then Nintendo's like us too, $60. It's like it adds up,
Yeah,
you
I
know?
agree.
It adds up. I just enjoy playing Mario Kart online. That was about it. Not too much of an online. Moving on though, from the online discussions, there were some other reveals with the Nintendo Direct, and this takes it back more to the old school. So I feel compared to the other Switch games there, you could relate to this a bit more. There's a game that's going to be released July 13th called Project Octopath Traveler.
Yes.
And I sent you some pictures of it, and I believe I played the demo in front of you
Yes, that's right.
when you came over. And for those who don't know what this game is, so you can visualize it, think you know, Super Nintendo graphics, pixel graphics. Think the old Final Fantasy turn-based games to put you in the right state of mind. But imagine it's pixel graphics that have merged in a 3D world almost. So everything's pixels, but they'll be like on a standing plane, which is creating real-time shadows and all that. It's a really nice artistically done game. It's a bit hard to describe, but if you type into Google or whatever, have a look at the picture, you know straight off the bat this game's gorgeous. It plays very much like the originals. And this game was shown, I believe, when the Switch was very first announced. Like, it was one of the early games which got everyone's attention, myself included. I really enjoyed the demo. And what I find the drawing factor is of it is you have multiple players that you can choose, and depending who your main character will be will dictate what special move you have. So for example, there's this one female character who she has a special ability, seduce or something. Yeah, it was called seduce. And so basically you can talk to, you know, NPCs, non-playable characters, and you can use the seduce function to lead them away from where they are, so then you can get extra info from them, or if you wanted to rob them or whatever. Like, nothing, you know, scandalous happens, even though it has the word seduce, but it gives you that extra options. And the other players, there's this tough guy that you can be, and his special move is intimidate. So if you're talking to NPCs and, you know, they're not doing what you want, you're failing to negotiate through words, you can choose a move called intimidate or challenge or something. But basically you can challenge them to a fight, and you can beat them up if you have to. Like, they all have these different skill sets, so then you can re-experience the game, but every time it's
Sounds
different.
like real life.
You know what?
Sounds
Sorry?
like real life.
A little bit, yes. Everyone will approach the same situation differently. And, you know, being the old school gamers we are, like, I remember Theo playing Final Fantasy X
Oh,
on the PlayStation 2 at your
good
house.
times.
Yeah, we really enjoyed those games. And, you know, you don't see many turn-based games anymore. So it's just nice to see a return, because, you know, Final Fantasy is what got me into those games, and yet Final Fantasy was one of the first series that actually moved away from turn-based. Like, it's all real time. And even the remake of Final Fantasy VII, which is based off a turn-based masterpiece, is going to have real-time battle mechanics. So it's nice to be able to return to it. Are you interested anymore in turn-based games, or have you moved a little past that?
Personally, I've moved a little past that. I was never really into turn-based games, but obviously Final Fantasy X playing it with you, I found fun. I actually really like the... I think that's actually my favourite Final Fantasy game to date.
Okay.
Just because I like the... Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But personally, it's not my thing, but I'm glad to see that they're still around and still trying. They're also still trying to bring these turn-based games, obviously, into the 21st century with, like, better graphics, colours, and making you more, you know, into sort of, like, more mesmerised with the game and the way it looks and stuff. So, it's a good thing, but it's just not my personal thing.
Yeah. You're just happy to see that that gameplay style isn't dead.
Yeah.
Even if you're not particularly a fan of it, you can appreciate it how others or myself can be.
Yes.
How very humble of you.
Yes, I know.
A rare wise moment indeed. Yes. There is another game which was... To be honest, I'm actually not a big fan of this series. I don't dislike it, but I recognise the series is huge. And I know it has an immense fan base. And that is the reveal of Super Smash Bros. Coming to the Nintendo Switch later on this year.
You're not a fan? I don't even know what to say. I'm shocked. I don't even know if I can continue with this anymore. It's just, wow.
Oh, Theo, I'm not sure you've even played a game. You sassy, sassy man. it was one of those games where, you know, when you're younger and you're gaming and all that, obviously what games you could buy was pretty much restricted to like your birthday and Christmas and what you could convince your parents to get. And when I was younger and Super Smash Bros. Came out on the Nintendo 64 and then the GameCube and all that, it was just one of those games which I was interested in, but I just never got around to getting it. And then by the time I was an adult and I could, I was too busy being distracted with all the other games. Actually thinking for the first time of getting this game when it comes out.
Wow.
See what the fuss is about.
Yeah, do it. Don't be scared, you're an adult.
I am. Thank you for that confirmation. I've questioned that, if I am or
you're
not.
You're welcome. Good chat.
I think it's a brilliant move from Nintendo, though, because when they come out with the paid online service, they're going to need some sort of hook, something to convince people, hey, continue, you know, playing games online with us, and here's the online game that you want the most, you know? So, I think it'll be good. There's actually been a lot of conversation around the release as to if the game is even a new one or if it's a port from the Wii U game. Personally, even if it's just a port, I think it will do well, but I'm hoping it's not. Like, I'd like a new game from the ground up, take advantage of the stronger hardware that's, you know, that's in the Switch, and yes, sell it to us or even sell it to me. Like, I've admitted during this episode that, hey, I don't really play console games online much. Like, I play plenty of PC, but consoles, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just not really interested. I would like Nintendo to race to the challenge, be like, hey, here's Smash Brothers. It is amazing. You are going to want to play this online, you know? And then I can jump back on this show and be like, yeah, I take back what I said.
Well, it shouldn't be too hard to get you interested. All I have to do is, you know, email Nintendo and say, hey, put some pretty water and fire into it, and he's hooked.
Would it be so hard? Like, the announcement trailer didn't show any gameplay or screenshots, fine. But when something is revealed, it better be like the characters just stand in the water, all shiny, and it just looks really good.
I agree.
That took a lot of effort to not accidentally make that sound dirty. I was going to get into it, like, I want them to be drenched in the water and this and that, and it's like... No.
Yeah, we're going to keep the podcast PG.
You understand how my water gameplay.
Oh yeah, I've thought of five things while you were saying that.
Hey, I'm going to be sending you a screenshot if I ever see it. I'll be like, I'm still not getting this game, but look at the water. Like, it looks amazing.
I can see that in my future. Yes.
You can easily see that. You know, one thing which, moving away from this, I just wanted to bring it up is, you know how we started that Facebook group, Positive Gaming Space? I brought it up last time. I mean, I'm going to say it again because the people who keep joining the group continue to just blow me away. The speed at which this community is growing and the awesome gamers that we're attracting is just, it's just such a joy. Like, every few days, you know, I'll post something a little witty or a little baity or a little whatever, just so I can get some sort of conversation going. And you get genuinely good responses. I get requests to join the group all the time, and the Facebook group itself has just exploded. Like, Facebook notified me a few days ago that we've gone up like 200 members or something.
Wow.
Over the past 2 weeks. Yeah. So that's just, you know, that's exploded. And I had a little bit of a geeky moment, which I'm not going to say it was a test towards the community. I just want to see if there was an audience within that group of people. And I did a little bit of a blog within the group, just talking about how, you know, hey, the Switch has been with us for more than a year, and here's a little bit of a history how Nintendo got to the point that they're at, and what they did right and what they did wrong and stuff like that. And when I was done writing that, it was just like a wall of text, and I'm just looking at that, I'm like, ugh. Well, I'll tell you what, whoever's not a gamer is not going to be bothered to read that. It's like there's just too much writing. And yeah, got a whole bunch of likes and love hearts and this and that on that post, and I'm like, huh, that's pretty cool that, you know, they saw that wall of text and they actually bothered to read it, and, you know, even agree with what I had to say. So yeah, thank you, you know, guys and girls, for one, dealing with that wall of text. I knew what it was, but I wanted to geekify, and I didn't want to drain the life of people in a podcast. Yeah. And be like, here are my thoughts. And then like 10 minutes later, oh, and by the way, Theo's with us. He's like, oh, hey.
Look, yeah, I just wanted to put like my 5 cents in as well.
Okay, it's $1.50. Don't lie, but please continue.
$2 now. Okay. Oh! No, but like, I know that you appreciate all the comments that you get on the Facebook page. So, yeah, guys, it's really hard to get people's reaction, especially over text and audio. So, I know that George, being one of his closest friends, really does appreciate all the effort that everyone puts in, even myself in the podcast. So, yeah, keep everything coming. Share your thoughts, your opinions, because I think it's an interesting and cool space to be in, personally.
Oh, you are a wise man this evening.
Yes. Yes. It's that power nap. I told you to have one.
Yeah, I should have had one. Like, you had a nap, you came back a better man. I didn't have the nap, and it's my own fault. I was playing XCOM 2 again.
Good game, though. But you fall.
I'm addicted to it, and my XCOM players, they look like the Power Rangers at this stage.
Oh, that's
because
that's really impressive. Because
you can customize how they look and colors and all that. Yeah. And to put in a way which I can remember, like the grenade is so that can throw, exactly what they sound like, the grenades and bombs and so forth, they're red. And, you know, the snipers are blue, and the ninjas with the machete guns, they're orange and so forth. So I have this color-coded system. And I don't know, this childish side in me, it just makes me happy to be controlling this squad of four. It really feels like I'm just playing a really mature M-rated Power Ranger game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like what the directors always wanted it to be, but new kids wouldn't be able to play it, and it's like, haha, fool, Power Rangers came out like 20 years ago. It's like, those kids have grown up now. Don't hold back.
Yeah, that's right. good times.
Indeed. All right, mate, I've gone over my list of things to discuss in this podcast at the very least. Theo, I'd like to thank you for joining me again. I know I gave you a little bit of short notice, so thanks for dropping everything and joining me.
No, that's fine. Always happy to jump on and help out. It's always really nice to be on the podcast.
I appreciate it, mate. And you'll be back. I've forgiven you after your first session with us. You made for those who didn't listen to that podcast, you may have made a few suggestions that the Switch wasn't almighty and perfect, and I may have not handled it the best.
I don't remember that at all. What happened there?
I don't know. I was kissing Nintendo's butt. You said you wouldn't do it, and then they just put you in the bad books.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can you not love them? And you're like, here are the following reasons. And I'm like, lies, go away.
Look, let's just say, George, that you're Greek. You'll never forget that.
No, I won't. I use the Greek heritage as an excuse. I just think I'm generally stubborn. But if I'm like, I'm Greek, then people are like, oh, I've dealt with your kind.
I agree.
Good food. All right, everybody, you've been listening to Gaming My Whole Life, podcast number 10. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, see you, everyone. Bye-bye.